Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, I'm finally catching on with that. I used to talk through that little intro they do for Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Michael Davis, the Iron Jaw Podcast. And last time, was actually last week, we actually ran out of time. I left a couple topics on the table, and we're going to get to that first. So we don't leave it out another show for another week. The NBA race is going on. And, oh, by the way, also we're going to, once we get through these couple NBA topics, we are going to talk about Ndamukong Suh to the Miami Dolphins for the biggest defensive contract in NFL history. But anyway, Golden State Warriors, obviously just dominating right now. They actually hold the best record in the NBA right now. Who's second best? In the East, the Atlanta Hawks, by half a game, 51-13 are the Warriors. Hawks have lost one more game. What's so impressive about the Warriors is they have really controlled their home court. And no other team can be like, hey, we're dominant at home. I mean, you can look at Memphis, you can look at Portland, you can even look at the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Hawks. There's just no other team more likely to win at home than the Warriors. And that's really impressive. I remember when they left the playoffs early a couple of years ago, you know, after a hard-fought series, they just got on the mic, the players did, and thanked the fans. They thanked the fans, and now it's paying off. I don't even know any of their deals, but, you know, the Warriors are clear favorite, you know. They're going to have home field, home court. Have I been saying home field? Oh, yeah. We're talking NFL later on. They have home court advantage if they can just hold on to the number one seed. You know, Memphis is on their coattails, Portland, Houston, but they're 6, 7, 8.5 games out of it. You know, we would have to see a Golden State collapse, which honestly is not hard imagining. At least for me, it isn't. The Warriors have, what, 18 games left on their schedule? I just did that in my head, actually. I don't have that stat in front of me. So, I mean, it's possible if they get a major injury to one of the Splash Brothers, Thompson or Curry, you know, it could happen. Or, you know, but I don't know if actually make it to the finals, despite being dominant at home. They've only lost 2 games at home, by the way. And they're 30-8 in the conference. Every other member in this conference has double-digit losses against conference teams. And there's not a team around the NBA who wins by more points. Nearly double-digit victories, 9.9 point differential for the Warriors. And by the way, I'm talking, it sounds like I'm biased toward the Warriors. I'm not. they are just playing at a superb level. I didn't see it coming, you know. I didn't see much in them, honestly. I thought Memphis can do some good. I thought the Spurs would be like, I knew the conference was going to be hard, but I just saw the Spurs repeating. And by the way, the Spurs are actually 7. So, I mean, I love how deep Western Conference is, okay? So, the Pelicans and Thunder are competing for the eighth seed. Like, literally, the Pelicans, if they both finish with the same record, they hold the tiebreaker. And, you know, the way the matches are going right now, we would see the Warriors and the Pelicans or possibly the Thunder. Right now, we would see the Grizzlies and the Spurs, Trailblazers and the Mavericks. That, oh my goodness. We would see Houston and the Clippers. And, you know, these matchups, I mean, you can't ask for much better than this. Can you? For first round matchups, that just blows me out of the water. And I'm not comparing it to the Eastern Conference because that's just not fair. You know, the Eastern Conference, if the season ended today, would have two guys under 500, you know, getting in. The West will have one or two teams that make it over 500, but won't be in the playoffs. And I'll put this in there. Everyone complains about that. I don't care. Don't care. I mean, you have to be good in your conference to make the playoffs. I like it that way. That's why we had it designed this way. Not the best 16 teams to get in, because sometimes you'll get, you know, a real good upset with a team that matches up really well with the one or two seed. And I just think it's more magical that way. I mean, so what if the Charlotte Hornets make the playoffs and the Oklahoma City Thunder don't? Or the Pelicans don't make it, and the Pacers, who stunk all but February, do. I mean, that makes no difference to me. And that is also me coming from, you know, the Heat could possibly, you know, miss the playoffs. Truly, after saying that, I don't know what that had to do with anything. But obviously, you know, anyone can take it in the West. I actually think the Houston and Clippers, if we see that matchup in the first round, you know, neither of those teams I see winning. But you never know. But I know. And Spencer, I know you're listening. We both know the Clippers aren't going to do much. They have a lot of talent. Griffin's about to come back this weekend. But the Rockets and Clippers are so overrated. And the Trailblazers, they may be out of it first round. You know, they'll have Dallas or they'll have San Antonio. They could still have, you know, any team. I mean, it depends who finishes. But the Trailblazers, I think, are still a good year away or two, you know, being lenient. I'm not closing the window after next year. They will likely, you know, take home the trophy next year, the Trailblazers. And I just don't see an Eastern Conference team taking it in the next two or three years. I honestly don't. The Spurs took it last year. If Coach Popovich can still manage their times, the Spurs will win. You know, and Memphis and Golden State are up there too. But, I mean, and even if Durant comes back for the Thunder and, you know, they make it into the playoffs, I still don't see them. I don't see the Thunder knocking off the Warriors or the Grizzlies, which segues into the NBA Most Valuable Player race. Anyone who has asked my opinion on it, or hasn't really, knows I don't like Russell Westbrook. I never have. I used to call him Westbrook. And I never thought him and Durant meshed well. But Durant's out. And now we're seeing the real Russell Westbrook, you know, and he has nobody. They've traded away James Harden. They gave away Reggie Jackson. They gave away Kendrick Perkins. You know, granted, he wasn't as good as he was in Boston. But, you know, you give Russell Westbrook no chemistry. You know, who's helping Westbrook? There's Serge Ibaka, and which I'm surprised they've kept him all this time. You know, there's Mitch McGarry and Dion Waiters. And don't get me started on Waiters. So, I mean, and he leads the league in points per game. Everyone says that, you know, Westbrook, oh, he just got hot. What's wrong with that? I mean, if you lead the league in points per game, if you're fourth in the league in assists per game, and if you're third in the league in steals, what's wrong with it? Yeah, I'm waiting. Russell Westbrook is a clear-cut favorite for this MVP. You know, Mayor Howell and James Harden, I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. Obviously, second in the league in scoring, you know, just under Westbrook. But what has he done? Everyone says he improved his, well, you got to look at what it was beforehand. I mean, I forgot to put this in between them. Everyone's saying, well, Wes Harden's doing it without Dwight Howard, and Russell Westbrook's doing this without Kevin Durant. Like I said, you know, Russell Westbrook's playing with nobody. And, you know, LeBron James finally catching fire. He was out 2 weeks and then came back, and he was Miami Heat form. You know, he was helping. And you could also call that Cavalier form. I know everyone, you know, when you used to play for the Heat and they were in trouble, everyone would say, you got to go Cavalier mode. You got to carry this team on your back tonight. And, you know, most times but LeBron James, you know, I'm looking at the stats right now, guys. Points, assists, field goal percentage, rebounds, blocks, steals. LeBron's only top five in one of those categories, and that's points. I mean, and no other Cavalier is top five in any of those categories. I mean, so James had Wade and Bosch, you know, up there. I mean, at least in a couple of these categories. But, you know, he made a mistake, but I won't get into that. And Steph Curry leads the league in steals. Everyone loves his scoring, but he's not even top five. Cousins and Davis have more points gained than he does. And I would love to vouch for Mr. DeAndre Jordan. He won't win MVP. Like I said, sponsoring Russell Westbrook as the league MVP this year. But DeAndre Jordan, okay. I know centers, you know, normally shoot the ball well, but DeAndre Jordan just does not miss right now. He is shooting over 71% from the floor. The next highest is a bench player in Mason Plumlee at 58. You know, and he leads the league by more than one in a rebound, 14.6, and Drummond follows with 13.4. And he also is fourth in the league in blocks. You know, Davis, Ibaka, and that 7-foot-1 monster, Gobert, is only better. So what do you think? I know what I think. Russell Westbrook, MVP. Though I will say, DeAndre Jordan needs at least a mention for most improved player. But, you know, that's obviously going to go to either Pau Gasol or Hassan Whiteside. Think so. Or, of course, you can give it to Jimmy Butler. I don't know if my sarcasm went through that. I just don't think that Jimmy Butler, you know, is deserving. I know he was good this year, but he was good last year. I don't remember him being, you know, bad. I love Jimmy Butler. But if you're looking at most improved, you gotta go for Hassan Whiteside, you know, who just, you know, came up out of nowhere and dominated the league at the center position. Or DeAndre Jordan, who has done it the entire year. You know, just my two cents. DeAndre Jordan, Russell Westbrook and DeAndre Jordan. See how I got to that point. Okay. Also, if you would like to call in, the number's 347-989-0920. If you want to give me any thoughts on what I've talked about so far, I'm going to move on to the NFL and free agency. First, I would like to start off with Ndamukong Suh, going from the Detroit Lions to the Miami Dolphins. Before he even signed the contract, he had agreed to him. I mean, he had agreed over the weekend during the 72-hour period to a 6-year deal, which was $140 million. I thought that was the number. And then the Lions trade at the start of the new league year for Haloti, which is a. If you're going to lose Sue, replace him with a productive player. You know, not is one of the best in the AFC. You know, he's been constant. And he's really been the Ravens' defense, especially since they let Ray Lewis retire. Ed Reed left. And, you know, they just lost Kerry Williams. They lost Daniel Ellerbe. You know, not in Terrell Suggs, obviously, were the Baltimore Ravens defense. And now only Suggs remains where, at the rate they're going, he may be traded by draft day. Hope not. Hope not for Baltimore fans. I am actually looking at, you know, Bill Polian's free agent tracker. He graded, as a school system, like every free agent out there. And at the very top, he put Ndamukong Suh at an A+. You know, best you can get, right? You know, no other player, even greats like Dez Bryant and Justin Houston and Darrelle Revis didn't want that. They all got A's. But he said, simply put, Sue is the best defensive tackle in the NFL. If not double-teamed, he will win virtually every time, end quote. And then he puts down an attribute, and he says, production's elite, speed, injury, and character is neutral, and none of those are poor. Did anyone else find a fallacy in there? Character. I think Sue is an interior player. I wouldn't put him at one sack. I would put him under, obviously. And I would not certainly put him at J.J. Watt, who can play any position on the defensive line and cause havoc. But Sue is going to warrant attention when being game planned for. I knew that when he was announced to be playing in the Cowboys and Lions playoff game. And that's where I question his character. Everyone knows the stomp on Evan Dedrick Smith on Thanksgiving a couple years ago. You know, it was Packers and Lions rivalry, got the best of him, and he stomped on a grounded offensive lineman. Obviously warranted his suspension, I believe 2 games. Yeah, 2 games. But last year, week 17, someone just tried to come in and that distracted me. Iron Jaw Podcast, everybody. He stepped back onto Aaron Rodgers' leg, and Green Bay, he must hate Green Bay. He won't see him about once every 4 years now. But can you really trust Sue to stay on the field? He hasn't really had an injury. Obviously, be play one. I'm not even going to talk about injuries right now. I'm going to talk about his character. Can you trust him not to be suspended? Because you know Sue is on that tight leash right now. Then next 2 years, he'll likely be suspended. And it won't be just for a game. It will be for like 3 or 4. Can you trust Ndamukong Suh? I can't. Once again, you know, Lions got the better deal. You know, didn't have to pay Suh that much money, and you got a pretty good player, Haloti Ngata. Obviously, you've heard about Terrence Knighton being the next Albert Haynesworth or Jason Hatcher, and also Stephen Pay, also signed with the Redskins. I don't know what they do. Daniel Snyder is offensive. Forget the name Redskins. Daniel Snyder is offensive to football with the decisions he makes, especially on the defensive side. Now, I'll give him credit. Bringing Pierre Garçon was a smart decision. Bringing DeSean Jackson was a smart decision. Training all that stuff for RG3 was not. But if you put it into, you know, up there, the Colts didn't know or didn't leak until very late that they would be taking Andrew Luck. So, you know, the Redskins looked, hey, we can trade up. You know, we'll either get Andrew Luck if we're lucky. No pun intended. Or we'll get Robert Griffin III, who people were actually high on. Didn't work out. They gave up too much to move up, and they should have been better off, you know, letting him drop 3, because I don't think they would have taken him with Sam Bradford there. Just my opinion. You know, Bradford held a hefty contract, and, you know, that would be a mess. Obviously, they would have to trade Bradford, but... You know, I don't know who the number 3 team was that year. You know, maybe they won, and you know, that's why they moved up to. Anyways, Knighton going there, Pot Roast. I don't think he's nearly going to have a great year or a good year. But if somehow Hatcher, Pay, and Knighton work, that defense instantly gets better. Those are 3 people who are, you know, worthy of attention by any team in any game by themselves. I really just, if they switch to the 4-3, then I can see them productive, you know. But obviously you have Knighton and Hatcher starting and Pay in the rotation. And you'd obviously have to get a couple good defensive ends, which you could get Trent Murphy down in there. Yeah, Cowboys fan giving the Washington Redskins some tips. But obviously the bigger 2 signing, Darrell Revis to the Jets. Anyone else see, you know, LeBron James there? You know, he was mistreated by the Jets at the end. You know, he got that injury, and then the Jets didn't have faith he could come back, so they traded him to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, despite what he wanted. You know. And the Jets gave him so much heartbreak, you know, losing the AFC Championship game each year. You know, never being able to reach a Super Bowl. And then he spends 1 year in Tampa. And then he gets to New England 1 year. And he came in for a replacement for Aqib Talib. And honestly, I was not sold on, you know, that swap. You know, Talib going to the Broncos. I thought, wow. You know, this clearly makes Broncos miles ahead of the Patriots. Patriots sign Revis. I'm like, okay. I actually talked to Mr. Mann about this, watching a softball game in high school. You know, I'm like, can he be 100%? And he's like, if he's 80%, I'm okay. And, you know, he looked fine healthy. I mean, you may say he lost a step, but, you know, you'd have to be very, very picky for a guy that is no longer in his prime. But he helped that Patriots team to a Super Bowl. And then the Jets said, oh, we need to get Revis. And I don't even know if they actually love Revis or them or thought they made a mistake letting a great player go. I thought they said we made a mistake letting him be a Patriot. If the Jets are hoping for a Super Bowl, unless they get a quarterback and running back, Bradford and Murray trade for Mariota, fixed overall pick. Then the Jets really have no shot. I still think the Patriots need to upgrade their corner position, their offensive line, and even something in interior on the defensive line, which, knowing the Patriots organization, they can do all of that in the draft, and they can still be in the AFC Championship game at least, though I have to give the edge to the Colts beating them this time around, if Chuck Pagano can coach. So much heat for that on Facebook when I said Chuck Pagano coaches not to lose rather than coaches to win, and that was the difference between the Colts and the Patriots. Real quickly, DeMarco Murray and going from my team, the Dallas Cowboys, to the Philadelphia Eagles. Also with Ryan Matthews, you know, and all of the moves the Eagles have made the last week. Incredibly shocking. I think DeMarco was great. You know, the offensive line gone through the first level, but second and third level. Murray is one of the better running backs. Cowboys replacement Darren McFadden, he's not a replacement. They will go for someone in the draft. And Murray, if healthy, if he went to the Giants or Redskins, I would be more concerned, especially the Giants. But the Eagles, even with three running backs in that rotation, he's going to get the most, and he's going to get hurt. The only year he stayed healthy was when he was going for a contract year, and I have also talked through another 30-minute podcast. Thank you for listening. So much appreciating the support and love. Like my new Facebook page. It's my name, Michael Davis, and I will see you all later. Thank you.